And ladies and gentlemen, yes, sirree. You know him, you love him, you can't live without him. Steve Psycho Lyons has joined the cast of Fox Family's Thursday Night Baseball, and he'll be on there as well. And he used to do pregame and postgame shows. In fact, he's probably still doing that as well, and championship games, and This Week in Baseball, and the National Sports Report. You're a little bit of a busy guy, Steve.
I don't need another job, that's for sure.
It's nice that you'll be able to keep in the game, because once you retire from baseball, it's kind of tough, but you're still a part of the game, which is nice.
Yeah, it really is, and especially when you think of a guy like me who wasn't any good when I played. I mean, that was the toughest part, was getting a job in baseball when I was finished, and it was something that I really wanted to do and thought that I could handle it. Fox gave me the opportunity 5 years ago on the pregame show, and that really gave me a chance to tell the nation my opinions about the game and show them my passion for it, and let everybody know that I talked about the game a lot better than I played it.
Well, I got to say that you were a 260-plus hitter in a 9-year career. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you know, back when I played, not too bad. Now, you know, you can't get away with that. But, you know, there's so many guys hitting over 300, 340, 360. I mean, it's unbelievable, the averages. And we've really, over the last, I don't know, 15 years, I'd say, have probably seen the greatest explosion of offense in the game. And there's a lot of factors for that, but I really do think that the offensive players have just really smartened up and figured out ways to make themselves better. Sure, the pitching's diluted and the ball is juiced, and they don't call strikes anymore. A lot of those things come into it, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily add a lot of points to your average. I mean, back when I played, if you hit 260, you were okay. Now if you're not hitting close to 300, you're no good.
Let's go back a little bit about your career, because I know that you played for the Boston Red Sox, and we enjoyed having you here. And you also played for the Chicago White Sox, so you were always had white. You had socks on all the time.
I had to change them every once in a while.
Yeah. What was it like playing in Boston? Did you any memories?
Oh, some great memories. You know, I ended up playing for four teams. I played a little bit with Atlanta and a little bit with Montreal as well. But, you know, when you play for the two most historic teams, really, when you think in terms of nostalgia for the stadiums, when I played in Old Comiskey Park and, of course, Fenway Park, it's really hard to have bad memories. Obviously, you know, I never ended up playing for the Dodgers or anything like that, so I don't have anything else to compare it to. But when you think of the history of the game and the two home teams that I played for, it doesn't get a whole lot better than that. Mm-hmm. And I was the kind of guy that really took advantage of everything that the major leagues had to offer me. I had more fun than anybody else did. Like I said, I was a very average player, so my career was a little disappointing to me because I always wanted to be better. But when I, you know, do the, you know, the glass half full side of that equation, then I say, you know what, I played 9 years in the major leagues, and most people would have given their left arm to do that.
Exactly.
And I took full advantage of it. I had a lot of fun, and I kept trying to get better. And I truly believe that if I wasn't the type of person that I was, I would have never made it to the big leagues. You know, I wasn't supposed to get there. I made it there on guts and desire rather than my ability to play.
Well, you made it there. A lot of it was the word hustle, and something that's lost in nowadays with these multi-billion-dollar contracts. These people, half the people don't even work anymore after they sign the contracts.
Yeah, some guys do that, you know, and it's unfortunate. And I still try to stick up for the guys that play. I mean, I think the guys, they're couple really good examples of guys that got a lot of money and still played very hard. I think Alex Rodriguez is going to be one of those guys. I think the money is way out of whack. Even as an ex-player, it's harder and harder to defend how much money these guys are getting paid now, because it's like funny money. But at the same time, if you're gonna pay $252 million to somebody, Alex Rodriguez is the guy to do it to, because he's a team leader. He's a clubhouse leader. He's a leader in the community. He's a charitable guy. He's a great player. He does everything, defense, offense, you know, handles the media very well. So if that's going to be your top-notch guy, at least they did it to the right guy. Now, you know, on the other side of that coin, the Boston Red Sox go out and give $20 million to Manny Ramirez, who's a tremendous run producer, hits the ball out of the park and drives in runs. There's no question about it. But I'll tell you what, he's already made noises about not wanting to play in left field for Boston. You know, he's not going to be able to play right field. He'll make an error a week out there. He'll get picked off once a week. He's not a good defensive player. He's not a good base runner. English is his second language, and I don't hold that against him. But because of that, he's not a great community guy or an interview guy. So there's a lot of reasons not to shell out that kind of money to a guy like Manny Ramirez, but they did.
And then, of course, we have people like Pedro and Omar, who are really underpaid in the current market.
Well, that's what happens every time. You know, remember when Pedro got his $12 million a year deal, was the highest paid player at that point. Everyone said, oh my goodness, how can they spend that much money? You know, he's clearly another example of a guy who's gone out there and earned it. And, you know, the situation that we went through with Gary Sheffield and him complaining about wanting to get traded or having a lifetime contract and getting an extension because he was, at that point, only making $10 million a year.
Hmm.
Same thing with Frank Thomas. You know, those guys, they forget, and they see it happen to other players. I don't understand why they don't realize that it'll happen to them. When you sign a long-term contract, by the time that contract gets halfway over with or into its latter stages, you will be comparatively underpaid because guys are going to pass you up, and the market continues to grow, and you trade a little bit of money at that back end, and we're talking a little bit when you're talking about guys making $10 million, for the security of that long-term six-year, $60 million deal.
Mm. You know, one of the things that Pedro said in the last few weeks was when someone said to him, you know, you really should be pushing to renegotiate your contract, he said, I signed it in good faith, and they don't owe me anything.
That's, you know, that's the kind of attitude, and it's unfortunate that we don't hear that enough. We certainly hear about the Sheffields and the Thomases, but we don't hear a guy like Pedro say, hey, wait a minute, you know, I'll get mine when the time comes again. And you know, that is the true test of your character, is that, you know, if you put your name on something, you know, what does that mean to you? And it kind of goes back to your original question. Do I continue to go out there and, you know, do my best for the 5 or 6 years of that contract? Or in my second year in the off season, do I not do as many sit-ups because I know I'm going to get paid anyway? You know, it's almost human nature. And I think if we all looked in the mirror, we'd say to ourselves that on our bad days, we wouldn't try as hard because we know we're going to get the money for the next 4 or 5 years anyway. And then when it gets close to contract time again, you kind of step it up a notch. But hopefully, you know, when you're an athlete, the embarrassment factor of not playing well outweighs those bad days when you give up on yourself.
Mm. I'm talking with Steve Lyons. I have a young boy who's 9 who's really into the Little League and the whole deal, and I worry about some of the influences he's seeing with people like Carl Everett on the Red Sox, some of this negative stuff you see in all the leagues. The NFL has a lot of it, the basketball, NBA. There's some really bad role models out there right now.
Yeah, there really are, and I think that the thing that you have to do with your 9-year-old is I think there's an excellent way to teach kids and our own kids with bad examples. Certainly, we want to show them the best examples that are out there for them to follow, but you can certainly point at the Carl Everett situation and his blow-up on the field and some of the troubles that he had with the Red Sox and say, look, this is the way not to do it, and eventually this kind of behavior will catch up with a guy like him. And, you know, and in conversations like this on a nationwide radio show, I'm sure Carl Everett doesn't appreciate the fact that he's being talked about in a bad light. But he brought that on himself. I certainly don't have a problem talking about the fact that I have a problem with the way he acted. And he should understand that, and I believe he does. But that's the kind of thing that you bring on yourself.
Well, he's been doing it again this year. He showed up late for some things. He missed a bus, and him and Ramirez seem to be buddy buddy now. Both of them have the same kind of attitude.
Well, you know how that goes. You know, misery loves company,
mm-hmm.
And it is unfortunate, and it's too bad. And that's why I think that a lot of times in baseball, with the management, they do not do a great job determining who they're going to give their big money to. And I've always been the biggest proponent in the 5 years that I've had a voice in the game of baseball as far as broadcasting is concerned. I've always said that your talent level should never outweigh you being just a decent guy. You don't have to be an all-American guy, because we all know that we all have skeletons in our closets that we're not too proud of. But, geez, just go out and be a decent guy. But that's kind of why I'm a two-strike guy. I'll give you one chance to screw up. And then after that, you know, I don't think you deserve the opportunity to play in the game anymore if you're going to keep making mistakes that are national mistakes and type of things where you're breaking the law, because it should be a privilege to play the game of baseball. And if you don't respect that privilege, then you don't deserve to play.
I agree with you. We're talking with Steve Lyons, who resides in L.A. in an estrogen den. You have 3 daughters, right?
Yeah, 3 daughters, 1 grandson.
Wow. Now, did the girls play any sports at all? Did they?
My oldest daughter's played a little bit of baseball. In fact, I just had a conversation with my oldest daughter yesterday, and she's still getting back into dancing, and she's 23, and my second daughter is 16. And they were both kind of dancers. They both did play softball when they were kids, but didn't enjoy it that much.
Hmm.
And now my oldest daughter looks back on it and says, you know, I was much better suited to be an athlete and try harder in the sports rather than dancing, because she loved dance, but she says she's not good at it. Where she says my other daughter, Corey, at 16, is a better dancer than her, but doesn't like it as much. So they needed to put their personalities together, I guess.
Hmm. Now, you got your nickname Psycho through Mark Sullivan, whose dad was the owner of this place, or the general manager or something of the Red Sox. Big wig is in the Red Sox. I remember an incident when I think you were cleaning yourself and you kind of dropped your trowel.
Yeah, that one follows me around. In fact, I think I get asked about that almost every day of my life. And it's okay, because it's probably the smartest thing I ever did. It was an accidental thing at the time. But, you know, when you lead an average career and people begin to talk about you afterwards and they say, you remember that guy Steve Lyons who used to play for the Red Sox and the White Sox? And someone invariably will say, well, no, I don't remember him. And then they'll say, well, you know, he's the guy that pulled his pants down on the field. And they'll say, oh, yeah, that guy. I know who you're talking about now. So, you know, we'd much rather be remembered for hitting a Game 7 home run in the World Series. But, you know, very few guys get to be remembered for that. So sometimes even the bad things you do end up being good.
Well, it wasn't that bad. I mean, look, Brandy took off her shirt and was running around her bra and the soccer thing, and people know her because of that.
Exactly. You know, I'm never quite sure why the Miller Lite people didn't get us both together and do a commercial somehow with, you know, me losing my pants and her losing her shirt. It seemed like a natural tie-in to me.
That would be. You know, we're talking with Steve Lyons, who you can see every Thursday night on the Thursday Night Baseball at the Fox Family Channel, which, by the way, is doing incredibly well in all different fields. They get some great movies on there and some great programming. And Thursday Night Baseball is one of them. You can also see him as well on This Week in Baseball and National Sports Report. I can't let you go without mentioning last year's Sports Illustrated, picking the Red Sox to win the pennant. The Yankees obviously had a ton better team, and the Red Sox weren't even in it at the end when it counted. This year, many pundits still picking the Red Sox when they added Ramirez and all these different people. Any predictions for the East race and some of the other races around the Major League, since you'll be announcing all the games?
Yeah, well, you know, I'd like to be a Red Sox fan and say that they're going to win it. Sports Illustrated was way out on a limb last year when they did it, and of course then they put Nomar on the cover this year and he got hurt. So,
exactly.
You know, it's the whole SI jinx again, I guess. But
uh-huh.
Yeah, they don't have the pitching staff to win their division. They might not even have the pitching staff to win the wild card. They really are going to hit the ball and knock the walls down. But that's, you know, it's typical Red Sox fashion. They'll be able to score 8 runs, but they'll lose 9-8. And, you know, after Pedro, what do you got there that's going to stop anybody? There's nobody else in the rotation that scares me. And I also believe, and you can say you heard it here first, that I don't know that Pedro will have as good a year this year as he had in the past. I believe he'll spend some time in the DL this year. Because if you looked over his career, he's starting to break down more and more as time goes on. The guy only weighs about 160 pounds, and he throws so hard, and he has a little bit of an awkward delivery, but the reason why it's so great is because every pitch comes from that delivery. You can never tell the difference in his delivery, whether he's throwing a fastball or a changeup or his curveball. That's what makes him so effective. But he's a small guy, and he's starting to spend more and more time on the disabled list. And I expect him to spend more time on the DL this year. I still expect him to probably win 15 to 22 games, or, you know, 15 to 19 games, but I think he'll spend some time on the DL as well. So that team's in trouble, I think.
I will make a prediction for you, Steve, though. I think that Oka and Crawford are going to come into their own this year.
Hey, well, we hope. And those are two guys that I don't know very much about. And you know, it's just tough to do it in Boston, and it's tough to come into your own as a young player with you know, very little experience. So when you look at that division, I think it's the Yankees again. When you look at the two teams that didn't need pitching help the most are the ones that went out and got it. The Yankees signed Mussina, and the Colorado Rockies went out and signed two guys, Denny Nagel and Mike Hampton,
where all
the other teams that really needed pitching help went out and signed guys that could hit the ball. So it's a little bit, you know, you throw your hands up in the air and say, what are we thinking?
What about the National League?
National League, I look at the Braves again. I think they're going to be just as strong once again because they do have the pitching. They struggle a little bit in the playoffs because they don't score very many runs. But they'll have Kelvin Alvarez back at the top of the lineup where he can be a table setter, and he missed most of last season, and that really hurt him. St. Louis will be right there again. And I look for the Diamondbacks. If they stay healthy, they're a very old team. But I like the Diamondbacks as well.
What do you think of Maguire's chances this year? He seems to be healthy again.
Yeah, if he's healthy, he's gonna hit 50 home runs again, you know, and maybe 60 and maybe 70. The guy has just really transformed himself into a tremendous hitter. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the conversation about how he's gone from a guy who used to hit a lot of home runs and hit about 240 to a guy that hits even more home runs now and hits in the 300 range and sometimes higher than that. He's made himself a better hitter, and he's very much more compact. He understands his strength now. He knows that he doesn't have to hit the ball as good as he can hit it to get it out of the park. So he waits on the ball better, and he sits back there and just, you know, kind of takes what they give him. And I still think that the National League pitchers haven't realized that for a right-handed hitter, he's a low ball hitter. And everyone tries to throw the ball down in the zone to him rather than to ride it up in the zone where he doesn't handle that pitch nearly as well. And he keeps hitting these moon shots from off of his kneecaps.
Steve Lyons, we can make one prediction here, and that is that if you want to see the best analysis of a baseball game, you can tune in Thursday Night Baseball, Fox Family Network, and check out Steve Lyons. Thanks so much for coming on, and good luck with all the pursuits on TV. Any chance of crossover into a comedy series or movie or anything like that?
You know, people always talk to me about that. I'd love that opportunity, but I got to tell you that right now my life is pretty good doing the sports and the baseball. Someone would have to come in and really knock my socks off with some kind of big dollar offer to get me to change what I think. This is what I do best. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to the Thursday nights on Fox Family Channel. I think it's an excellent opportunity. And like I said before, it gives me a chance for 3 hours to tell you my passion about the game and what I think is right and wrong with it, and to get to sit out there at the ballpark again. It's been a little while since I've had a chance to do it.
It's kind of fun. Do you watch any TV at all? I mean, any favorite TV shows?
Yeah, unfortunately, I work at night, so I don't get to see a lot of the primetime shows, but I've always been a big Friends guy, and now I seem to be into a lot of the kids' programming. I have a 2-year-old as well, so, you know, we watch Caillou in the morning and, Blue's Clues and things like that. You know, you don't get to watch the shows you want to watch anymore. I've seen Toy Story 2 like 70 times.
Yeah, I have too, and I was Rugrats and all these other ones.
Sure.
Yeah, it's funny. All right, well, take care, Steve, and stay healthy and stay successful. Take care.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Steve Lyons.